Back live on BBS Radio Online. Thank you all for being here, for listening in. Today it is August the 7th, on a Wednesday, 2019, on this planet Earth. Tonight, with Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona, another episode with questions and answers with the Elohim, where Terry Brown is the conduit, the channel for the Elohim group on the other side of the veil. And Vin will ask questions that have been submitted by you, the audience. And we'll see what happens. As usual, this is a simulcast to the conference call. Another person called in live here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil, a C6 Sea Serpent from sunshiny Seattle.
All right, Cecil, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi.
It was so great to hear your wife's voice.
Yeah, that was kind of different, wasn't it? She's got dementia pretty bad, and generally doesn't stay with me. So it happened
all right.
We were out and about in the car and listening, and she was kind of captive audience. You just
all
have
right.
to take it, like it or not. Anyway,
yes.
We enjoyed it.
good.
I'm hoping my daughter would be on today, Jill Weston from Minnesota.
All right. What is her name?
Jill Weston.
Jill? All right.
Jill, J-I-L-L.
Oh, J-I-L-L. All right. I hope she'll be here. And the next caller came in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome.
Hi, Wynn.
We're glad to have you on board.
Well, thanks very much.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Robert Horlick in New York.
Hello, Robert. Welcome. And welcome to all those that are joining in online through BBS. Thank you for being here.
Are we on BBS now?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And if you want to submit a question, you can do so per email to Win. The email address is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Good
Don.
Good evening, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, guys. It's Jennifer from Greensburg. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Jennifer. Good evening.
Hi, Jennifer. Hi, guys.
You're cheering us all up, Jennifer.
Oh, that's nice to say. I'm a little poop myself.
Wait, how many? Do you have enough questions for tonight?
I don't know. I'm just going to check right now.
Mow my lawn.
Huh?
I was going to send one in, but I was mowing my lawn. Part of life's rich pageant.
In a few months, you'll be complaining. It's so cold.
Uh-huh.
Oh, don't say that. It's still summer. Yay.
I know. Yay.
It's summer.
Every day, I try to treasure it from here on out because it's going to go away.
Oh.
I wanted to make a comment, okay?
Okay.
You know that fellow that you recommended?
Yes.
He's presenting everything in his head, and he's brilliant. You're right, right?
He's reading.
But I don't think he's going to connect with our work, but I'll talk to him. But
okay.
In general, it's kind of like one starts to think if you come up with enough evidence that something is true, the whole world will suddenly change, okay? And it's not been my experience that even begins to be true. Like there's enough evidence to sink a ship that reincarnation is real. You have Brian Weiss, who is the head of psychiatry, was at University of Miami, writing books about reincarnation. So to make the connection between the Ra group and the Bible, which I already know there's a connection there, but I don't know, you know, the interpretation of the Bible. It's kind of like, I think I would be bored, even though I know it's true. I mean, I've read things about the Bible years ago. You know, the Bible, how it really gives incidences of reincarnation. So, now the concept that the Ra, not that the Ra group was God in the Bible, because they don't even want to be God now, nor do the Elohim. And it's kind of like the really breakthrough concept is these group souls can interface with this realm in a way that can change things on an atomic molecular level. That is what's amazing.
That is amazing.
And the criteria, they don't just sit there and say, as you probably know, they don't just, you ask them for something, and they don't wave a magic wand and say, well, thank you for it, and we'll grant you that. They have a criteria of how they can interface with the energies of this realm. And that's fairly complicated, because otherwise, all we would have to do is ask them, let's change the world, and the world will change, right?
I don't know how that relates to what I sent you. I'm not getting that at all.
The thing is, tying Ra to the Bible, you know, if Ra wanted to be tied to the Bible, when they were channeling with Carla, they would have said, and yes, we were connecting with Jesus. But they didn't do that, did they? Why didn't they do that?
They did do that.
No, they did not. They did not. Tell me where.
Okay. I'll look for it.
Not in the raw material. Never.
They said it
in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, okay? But they didn't say it in the raw material. And they didn't say it because Carla was a Christian. She went to church every Sunday. And they don't want to confront somebody that is making something work with them with any doubt. Just like with Edgar Cayce. If you look at Edgar Cayce, in studying Edgar Cayce, I learned that for 20 years, he only did health readings, nothing else. No reincarnation, no cosmology. And he was a Christian, and he was scared that what he was doing might be demonic. And so, from my perspective, I mean, they didn't say that, but obviously, they were very cautious about what they brought through him, and they only wanted to help people and demonstrate that they could help people. And it was only after 20 years that they suddenly talk about reincarnation. And Cayce, then of course, they never identified themselves as a group soul, but Cayce believed it was the Christ speaking through him. Okay? So you see, it's very hard for them to get into this realm and be totally transparent, okay? Because if they offend the belief system of who they're talking through, they're going to be history. You follow?
Oh, yeah, I do. Absolutely.
So
I just thought his
I just thought having an original translation from one of the few people left, you know, in the world alive that can read so many ancient languages, it's a pretty rare thing. And that mm-hmm. kind of a take was interesting.
Well, I'll look further. I will look further on him, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll even might send him an email and have a conversation with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
it's up to you,
Yeah, but if somebody, you know, I like to have people that are sharing the Christ energy and not, and then being intellectual about it. I mean, there is no one on the planet that has ever heard that the Ra group was creating the Christ consciousness, okay? No one but me. And
mm-hmm. exactly.
What do I want to... Now, if I go announce that to the world as my first foot forward, they will smash me to pieces. You understand?
Exactly. Which is why I thought it was so interesting that there may be a reference to something, and you just got to, you know, listen to it. But it was the mm-hmm. first time I ever... You know, it caught my attention because that's never been said before because nobody could translate it. And mm-hmm. My ears perked up and I had to rewind it. And then I heard the thing about Mars and I thought, wow, here's somebody who knows nothing about it. And there might actually be a reference in the Bible. And to me, the whole thing was fascinating because it had mm-hmm. never been looked at this way before. And we know the Bible has been all, you know, kind of mistranslated over the years.
Mm-hmm.
To take it back to its original intention from the author, whoever the author was. To me, that is...
Whoever the authors were, okay?
Exactly, yeah. Book by book, whoever they were. You know?
Yeah.
Because we don't know who they were. So, but, you know, to me it was just interesting because somebody could go back to the original writing and that there may be some sort of fragment in there. And certainly he is intellectual. And I don't think there's any kind of, hint of trying to be, you know, religious in any way or spiritual in any way. It's simply an intellectual look at, you know, what was being said and what was the original intention here. You know, it's a fresh...
Well, you know, he might be somebody that's good for George Norrie, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But our group, you know, we just have a little group here, okay? And we have a little group listening on BBS. And our people who are regular listeners, I think if they keep coming back, they get it. They're feeling the energy, and it starts to make sense. So... It's kind of like, I'm not sure it would be the best use of time to interview him, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
he has no idea of my context, right?
No, none at all.
Right?
It was a fluke thing. I never thought he would respond so favorably. And I was just sort of putting
Well, you know what?
Interesting.
You know what? He doesn't have that many people viewing his YouTubes, okay? And,
I don't know if he shaved those, you know, depending on the topic. It is a hot topic. You know, it's reptilians, and, you know, it goes right to the heart of what's actually there versus Zechariah Sitchin stuff, which some people believe, some people don't because they don't want to believe it. But here it is, right, you know, back to the original translation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a long time ago, one of the things that blew my mind when I was first, coming to my conclusions and trying to cross-reference things, And I've read this at different times. That book Voyagers, which had which most of it I didn't understand. I mean, you might try reading it sometime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can I mean, it is very complicated. Very.
And I heard that.
And the only reason I had that book was in the first 6 months, I was in a bookstore, and Daphne takes it off the shelf, and she says, they want you to read this. Would you like to say your name in the city? And it's okay.
We had like six people come in when you were talking.
Okay.
You're a little overmodulated, Wynn.
Sounds like a good name for a song.
But of course, here we are live on internet radio, bunch of people listening, and you guys are talking. Of course, we want to know, who are you talking about?
Well, I mean, for anyone who's listening, you know, normally I don't have guests, okay?
Well, you do on a Monday.
Just a moment. Let me finish. And, you know, everybody and their uncle who's doing anything wants exposure, okay? And there are many people that I could invite to talk to. There's radicals. There's UFO experts, right? There's people talking about the dangers of 5G, okay? There's brilliant mystical people and brilliant yogis. And I used to go look to them and listen to them all at various times in my life. And they would be talking about their particular thing. And I, you know, there's people that's their thing, to present new people. Now, who are the people that I have had on as guests? I had Carla Ruckert many, many times. But Carla and I were exactly in the same ballpark because she was channeling the rock group, okay? I had Kimberly Meredith, who was doing miracle healings, and we accidentally found out that at the top of her matrix and her sources, they were indicating that the Elohim and the Ra group were there. And even then, I don't know if I had... I love Kimberly, I love what she does, but I don't think she knows what I do, okay? And, I mean, you guys have heard her. When I have her on, we don't have a co-creative conversation. I just usually defer to her and let her talk, okay? And then nobody's perfect, because now I'm endorsing her, and I find her imperfections. And sometimes people throw my endorsement in my face because she makes it sound like everybody's going to get healed who comes to her. And it's not true. And they pay a lot of money, and I'm telling them to go. And then they don't like me because they spent all, or, you know, it reflects on me because they spent $300 that they couldn't afford. They scrimped and scraped, and then nothing happened. So, you know, and then I had Jerry Friedman, who we became convinced was the reincarnation of Matthew, all right? Now, Terry never got into my work, into my group souls and all of my cosmology, but he always brought in the Christ energy when he talked, as you all know, who have been, were here to hear him. So I never had a problem with Terry Friedman being on the calls, and I could have him again and again. If you notice, I don't start this call with the idea of bringing through breakthrough information. We've already had so many calls with breakthrough information that has been fairly documented and believable that it's kind of like I take for granted that those things are true. Now, if I'm talking to a public audience, it's a whole different ball game, okay? I have to build everything from the ground up to be credible, to make anyone even begin to believe it. And what I have found, and I didn't know this when I first started, but what I have found is that the only thing, or the best way to do this was for me to talk about my story. And somehow or another, doing that would pull people into hearing the rest of the stuff and make them curious, as opposed to me saying, I'm talking to the Elohim, and let me tell you what they say. They say this, they say that. And it doesn't create a co-creative relationship. And I started to get the idea that they were working through me. And I didn't want that responsibility. I just wanted to introduce them to people and go away. Now you got them. But I became important to the equation. And how did that work? You know, they said it. They say they use us as repeater stations, and for people that are willing to allow it. And that they didn't say I was, but it was obvious that was true. And I mean, I had to convince myself. So instead of having this intellectual, okay, new paradigm cosmology, instead of having that, I just told stories. And it was the best way to do it. Because then I'm just another bump on the log like you. And I am just another bump on the log like you. I go through my stuff. Terry goes through her stuff. But in between going through our stuff and whatever else happens, we manage to keep the continuity of these calls, and we become a reference point for this energy. And this is just how it's evolved. And I'll tell you, if I brought somebody in who was just going to talk intellectually, I mean, about concepts, I'm not sure it would be meaningful. I mean, you guys want to feel energy. You want to feel passion. You want to feel connection, okay? I could tell you from here till kingdom come, read the Bible, and you'll get it. But I don't believe that's true. Okay.
Honey?
What? Who's butting in there? We have everybody
background
still.
Noise.
Okay.
We're still unmuted and we're still not recording.
Okay.
Are you ready to get going, Wynn?
Just one second. I'm compiling the questions for today. Okay. They're compiled, and let me see if anybody. You have a
iWarp.
Did you send the question to that? You sent it to the wrong email.
Well, the other one didn't work for me. It hasn't been working.
Okay, let me go over there.
We had about 10 people come in since you've been online. I'm wondering if my daughter, Jill Weston, a little mermaid from Minnesota, made it in today. It's Jill. Jill, are you here? I guess not. Anyone else that wants to announce themselves, feel free to do so.
Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Welcome.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Raiden.
Hey, Raiden.
Hey, Roger. Roger, yes. I'm a big fan of that gypsy guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Pirelli LeGrin. Pirelli LeGrin.
No, wait a second. Are you talking about Steph?
Stephen? Django Reinhardt?
Django Reinhardt, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, he was a very authentic person, you know? And how many of you know who Django Reinhardt is? Probably nobody, right?
Slightly.
Oh, yeah. And he's from Detroit, right?
No. I don't think so.
That's another Django Reinhardt. From Django Reinhardt.
That was the Motown version.
He started the genre.
No, this
the genre
guy wasn't
known
Motown.
As...
I mean, he's a really interesting guy. That's all I can say.
Django
mm-hmm. right.
Reinhardt started a whole genre referred to as gypsy guitar in Europe in the 1930s.
You know, when we're going to do a channeling, you will note that very rarely is it time to start and we immediately jump into a channeling. And why? You understand why that is?
You have to build the energy.
Because it's a group energy we're building. And they talk with and to that energy. And once we build the energy, they come into it. And it's like these are very subtle things. In other words, if somebody announced, I'm talking to the Elohim, and here we go, and suddenly they do this huge thing, you know, impressive, charismatic, articulate. It takes me a while to trust that, okay? It's like these group souls need group energy in this realm to anchor themselves. And even Edgar Cayce, even though he may not have understood it, had group energy around him. He had his wife, he had his stenographer, and he had a group of people called the Search for God group, okay, that would analyze his calls and make comments to him. And, you know, it's very easy for a negative source to take over the line. And the group energy offers a lot of protection from that, okay? And I just had to learn that because I had to learn what a group energy was. Even though I kind of knew from different experiences, when I started can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
When I started doing this, I had no idea how it worked. And I wanted to be very responsible. I didn't want to put out anything negative in the world. I didn't want to be a guru or a messianic guy who was talking to the Elohim. And I held my ground until I figured it out, okay? And I think I have it right. Maybe I don't, but no one's ever called me out on it, you know?
Might want to get your recorder going, Wynn.
All right. Thank you. You're my conscience here, right?
Right.
How is Terry?
This conference
Hello,
is being
Terry.
Recorded.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
This is August 7th, 2019. And, you know, both Terry and I have been going through a lot over the past particular year. And if you guys remember, the cops came to our door the other night. Do you remember that?
Didn't hear about that.
Well, that's all I'm going to say. But it wasn't for us. We weren't bad. We were doing fine. There's a story behind it. And it's like somebody that was connected to us, that lived in our house, that I wanted to get rid of. And Terry said, no, no, we're making a difference for her. And then she was doing terrible things. She was stealing things. Finally, Terry said, okay, I agree, after a year. And it was a horrible year. But I didn't talk about it because I don't like to talk about anything unless somebody else can fix it. It's not worth bringing people into those things. But in any case, she's gone, and now we're just having to regroup the vibrational space in the house. And we're doing it, but it's not all back yet, okay? So, in any case, this is
muted.
And we have questions that we're going to ask our sources. I think I'll ask a question about what I just said, okay? I'll sit it in. Okay, Terry, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Okay.
But you're not very ready.
All right. Thank you. So, you know, the one concession we make for ritual is the calling in of the light. And in order for that to work, it's not the words, it's not a magical incantation. It's, I have to be in the space of believing it. And usually I am, occasionally I'm not. And that doesn't mean if I don't do it perfectly, the rest of you are doing it perfectly and holding the space. I give the people on the line credit. And as you know, just because you're doing this, doesn't mean everything changes. Because, you know, as I have learned, every one of us is on our own track. Everyone is on our own path back to source. And there's no magic wand to wave that suddenly catapults one to a higher level instantly that I've experienced. But what this connection with our sources does is it can speed up the process of your connection, of your path, your path, we'll leave it at that. And you get more conscious understanding. You learn to forgive yourself faster. You learn you don't have to be perfect. And you learn that other people, that we can create spiritual affinity with each other. And that makes life in this realm a little more pleasant, to know that there's other people that understand. And of course, occasionally, these guys on the other side will do some kind of miraculous intervention, and something alleviates itself. It may not have done so either, but they don't do it on demand, and they won't do it on demand. There's a whole criteria of this. So, in any case, here's my
mic a little bit. Move your mic a little bit away.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything, none of that nature, must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Give us a moment. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On. We come together particularly to assist this particular group wherever it shows that we could be of assistance. If we ever see anything that doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it and disregard it. It is not meant for you at this time. Sometimes we speak at an advanced level. We're reminded when we first started coming through, Terry was unable to understand some of our concepts, and it took years before we were able to gradually be able to introduce them with the English language that she would be able to transmit them to the group. We come directly to you. We do not come to the telephone line or the radio. That is the voice only. And we come directly to you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. We have a question here from Don. On Sunday's call, Terry mentioned the soul body. What is that? Do each of our dimensional bodies have their own consciousness? Can the various bodies communicate with each other? Thank you. Don Herman.
Thank you. Each individual has a core that is the essence of them. And the core, as they progress, develops patterns that are recorded in the memory of the individual. They take those with them when they leave the body and when they transition, when they die, they take those with them. Sometimes they can be seen as a ghost. That is the soul with all of the patterns lighted up. If someone is watching a misty version, the soul is the vehicle you use to travel, and you have a memory in the soul that has developed over many years of time, and it is a reference point for you. It travels with you, and it has a memory within it of the patterns that you can access as you move through time and space after you transition from your individual Earth body. Thank you.
I'm going to add a little question to that, and that is, some people, we have the idea that when you die, your soul stays when we're on these calls and we're sharing energy and we're sharing group energy, is our soul changing while we're on the call, or do we have an integrous soul that and things are added to it?
The creation is of the energies that are recreated in the now. So as you go through the call and say someone has an experience and the experience gives them a new look at something, this goes into their core, and their patterns can change and their outlook can change. This can be changed. In general, though, it is learned patterns over a period of time that generally reoccur and stay with the person.
Mm-hmm. And does the soul occupy multiple densities simultaneously, or is it locked into the density that it's locked into? It's normal.
It has, the soul has many overtones that derive back into the higher densities, the higher realms, and they all are frequency based. So the soul has overtones at higher frequencies, and they all occur at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Does everyone have higher frequency overtones, or is each person's overtones unique completely? Probably are very unique to each person.
Each person has their own unique overtones, but there is a certain contiguous constant things that are occurring at the same time between individuals. But each one has their own unique soul frequency, soul signature.
Mhm. And how about a situation where there are multiple, we've talked about this and you've said this was true, there can be multiple individual entities in the same person simultaneously.
Sometimes they work together, they work synergistically. It is a happy circumstance, but they may have disagreements, which can create disagreements in one's mind that can be very confusing.
Now, does each entity that would be present have its own soul, or are they all part of one soul?
Sometimes it can be, each one could have its own soul. It can branch off again, perhaps, at some point. Sometimes the soul matrix in some of the entities accompanying one may have been damaged by explosions or nuclear blasts, and they are then very dependent upon the primary individual. Until they can reestablish their own integrity as far as being able to travel on their own again.
Thank you. Now, Donna asked, does each of our dimensional bodies have their own consciousness? And I think you answered that when you talked about the harmonics. You have a core soul, but that core soul will have harmonics and frequencies.
Yes, and the individual can refocus. Let's say that they're focused in the third density, and then they transition, they can refocus into, say, the sixth density or a higher density, they can refocus and change density.
And that means they're accessing the harmonics that are in that soul?
They are activating a group of harmonics and focusing their attention on that.
The harmonics can change.
Yes.
Over the course
everything
of your life.
Everything is created in the now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we have a question here from Lauren. And he says,
Lauren?
Lauren Zanier, right? And
pardon?
Lauren, yes. Lauren.
Yes, okay.
Okay. And let me say that when I use verbal things, I make it up from my own intuitive levels. I would say never have you said, say this, and it'll be like a magical incantation.
Right.
I have to feel the energy.
We don't have magical incantations ourselves.
Yeah, some people think that. They get mantras. And mantras can work. I've done mantras. I used to go to the Hare Krishna temple when I was younger occasionally. I was never Hare Krishna, but I could feel the lifting of energy when people would sing together. And I could feel in their voices when they would sing together the harmonics. It's just the physical notes of each person would create, and they would, you could hear the harmonics very often of the people who were creating together. Can you make a comment on that?
The creation is a musical affair with vibrations that can resonate with the different tones. Musical tones, colors have a resonance with different musical tones. Colors are fractionated into frequencies, and they have resonance with musical tones. Color red is associated with the tone of C, for instance. It is a musical, vibrational universe. And it is created with frequencies, and frequencies tend to move into bands, and then the bands tend to have certain vibrational sensitivities within that band.
Mm-hmm. And someday we'll do a talk about this. We never did. You know, there's 8 notes to a musical scale and 5 sharps and flats, which make 13. And there's a connection between the 8 notes on a musical scale and the densities, the 8 densities that Ra refers to, going back to source. I don't want to talk about it now. That's a whole, maybe some Sunday I'll do that as a topic. But Lauren's question was, we use the term ethics in our regular planetary healing sessions, particularly in regard to social responses of world leaders. However, the term ethics and ethical have a variety of conceptual meanings dependent upon the person or group involved. Now, I will make a comment that vocabulary, any word in vocabulary, can have a lot of meanings. And when I do it, I use it with my understanding, my intent of the word ethics. And for some reason, learn feels that maybe that's not the best word. So then he goes on and says for efficient...
can change from group to group, and something might be ethical in one group and in another group, that same thing is not ethical or desirable or accepted. Give us a moment. For instance, ethics can tie in with justice, and in some groups, justice would be totally different than with other groups. So when we talk about ethics and we hear Lauren's question, we can see that the term ethics can set us adrift to the meaning that each particular group would give it, which would be a totally unique way of interpreting it.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if a person really believed that the world was overpopulated and that the human race wasn't going to continue if the population was not put under control, they could think it would be ethical to control the population.
Yes.
Okay? So exactly. That's not
or
what
they
we...
could have a different idea of what justice is for a just punishment for someone who has stolen something is very different in different cultures.
Mm-hmm. But Lauren's question is, for efficient coordination purposes that would be most applicable across the dimensions and densities, is there a recommendation and meaning favorable to our joint intention, or would you recommend another word or phrase to use and its concept? Now, let me make a comment. When I say for the highest good of all concerned, which I say all the time, that is an overriding principle that would cover our use of the word ethics. But given the comments...
When we use the word ethics, we tend to use the Christ consciousness. We are thinking of words here. Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness and all it involves, and something that when one individual treats another in the ways of the Christ consciousness, the individuals tend to get along very, very good. And tend to live in harmony and to make advancement. The question does set the whole subject adrift, and is each culture has its own view of the meaning of that. When we refer to it, we generally mean as a stable datum, how Christ consciousness would view other words, thou shalt not steal, and there are, we search for words here, the ethics among thieves might be totally different. The way that thieves would look at what would be ethical and not would be totally different than the way a Christian might look at it, who is a practicing avid Christian.
Perhaps if I said integrity and ethics under the umbrella of the law of one.
Yes.
Then that limits its scope. And the law of one is representative of the Christ consciousness.
Yes.
Okay.
But we are mindful of the shifting of the meanings here.
Yeah, well, vocabulary is always a lie anyway. Maybe not a lie, but always. There's so many words that people interpret the meaning of them in different ways that I can only hope that my intent prevails. Okay, but in any case, anything more to say on that?
No, thank you, Lauren. That is a very good point.
Okay, and it's 6:54, and we have one more question from Valerie, but I just think it's too long for the amount of time we could probably. I was going to ask one question. Is we had a person in our house for the past year that I felt was affecting the whole vibrational centering of our house.
Yes,
and they,
indeed it was.
And they just
yes.
left, finally. We finally got rid of them. And could you share the vibrational repercussions of that person in our house?
It dulled and muted the vibrations of the other individuals in the house and tend to override them where it can creep in.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
It did mute and dull forward progress.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that is our questions for tonight, and except for Valerie, which Valerie asked it next week, and thank you everybody that's listening on BBS Radio, and let me say that we're moving over to Whole Planet Healing, and you're invited to join in. 712-770-4340, 712-770-4340, and the PIN is 250-513. And thank you so much for listening, and I'm going to unmute everybody.
Unmuted.
Thank you, Seattle.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Jim.
I see Lauren on the line.
It was a bitch trying to get on. I had to reboot my phone signs from scratch to get on. The last part.
Did you hear your answer to your question?
Yeah, it was very good. I like mm-hmm. what you said, and I like what mm-hmm. you said too. Yeah.
Okay.
It should be helpful.
You're just a big troublemaker, you know. All right. We'll see you in a moment, guys.
Okay.
Much love you all.